Praise God. If you have your Bibles today, I would like you to open up. We always show the scripture on the back wall here, but we do encourage you to bring your Bible, whether it's a paperback or whether it's your iPad or iPhone, whatever the case may be, to look at the scripture for yourself. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to conclude this particular series today. Amen. And wait till you hear what we're going to talk about next week. Amen. I'll share that at the end of the service. Father, we thank you today for hungry hearts. We bind every distraction. We come against every devil, every demon that lies to people's minds in the name of Jesus. You foul spirits of discouragement and deceiving spirits, we break your power in the name of Jesus right now. Today, we hear the voice of the good shepherd and a stranger's voice we do not follow. We choose to listen to the shepherd's voice today and follow his voice. His voice is peace. His voice is pleasant. And his voice is wisdom. And so today we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We started 6 weeks ago at the start of the year, in fact, January, the first week in January, as I was praying about this, as I've mentioned before, that God put in my heart. I didn't hear him audibly or anything like that, but I heard him in my spirit as I pray. And how many of you know you hear from God too? Amen.
That's right.
And Jesus said, as we just said, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger, they're not going to follow. Amen. Praise God. The Lord said this, I have increase on my mind this year. And that was the furthest thing from my mind. And increase, he says, I want to increase you and your church family. I want to increase your health. Okay? I want to increase your health. Now, if you're here, you're in a position to receive. Okay? And you're here at the right place today. Okay? But to continue in that is very important. Increase in your health. God wants this time next year, you should be healthier than you were right now. Amen? God wants you wealthier next time, this time next year than you are today. We should be on a steady incline of increase of God's best in our lives. Hallelujah. And so the list would go on. God wants you healthier. He wants you wealthier. He wants you full of wisdom. And he wants you to have favor. And so we're talking about this main key right here, how to tap into God's increase in 2016. Now, we see in Psalm 115. Starting in verse 9, let's read this again here. And it says this, O Israel, trust. Everybody say trust.
Trust.
So we're going to see this word three times right here. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, what?
Trust.
Trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, what?
Trust
in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Now notice the word trust is mentioned three times to Israel, to the house of Aaron, and if you're not of the house of Israel, ye that fear the Lord. That's us. That's me. I don't have a Jewish background. Amen. But I fear the Lord. That means I respect the Lord. Amen. When you respect the Lord, you listen to what he says, right?
Amen.
Praise God. How many people want to have ears to hear what God is saying today? Okay, praise the Lord. And he says, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Verse 12 says, for the Lord has been mindful of us. And I read the Living Translation that says, the Lord is constantly thinking about us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Verse 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Verse 15, for you are blessed of the Lord which hath made heaven and earth. Now, I wanted to read that again because notice there's a connection between trust is mentioned three times first, but then you get on to verse 14, he talks about increase. Amen. God wants to increase you. Now, folks, listen to me. I'll let you in on a little secret here. You ready? Increase is not a dirty word. It's a Bible word.
Amen.
Prosperity is not a bad word. It's a Bible word.
Amen.
Now, religious folks get mad when you talk about it. But you know what? You got to take out a ton of scriptures in the Bible if you're going to cut out increase and cut out prosperity. Because it's all through the Bible.
Amen.
Now, when God thinks of prosperity, he's not just seeing talking dollar signs. He's talking your health, your wisdom, all encompassing. Amen. But notice that there's a difference. There's a connection between when you trust God and then Him bringing increase in your life. Now, we in review real quickly here, and I'll make this real quick, we saw that Israel is a type of the church. And Israel started out in Egyptian bondage, which was the land of not enough. When He brought them out of Egypt, He brought them into the wilderness, which is the land of just enough. They had just enough. Ultimately, the third tier, God brought them into the promised land of the land that's more than enough. In other words, a land that flows with milk and honey. A house, a place where He said you're going to inherit houses you didn't build. Vineyards you didn't plant. Gardens you didn't plant. How many of you know when God brought them out of Egypt, they spoiled the Egyptians. They took all their wealth. And they just willingly gave it to them. Silver and gold. I mean, they had enough gold in their ears to build a golden calf. Now, do you know how much a piece of chunk of gold that much, do you know how much that would cost? I really don't know, but I know it's a lot. That chunk of gold would pay off your house and take care of everything. And all God has to do is take a little corner off of one of His streets and give it to you and get you out of debt just like that. That's the kind of God that we serve. Hallelujah. Our daddy's like that. Amen. And so God wants to bring us, you and I, into a land of more than enough. And so we saw, what's the main step is to get increase in our lives? It is the word trust. And that's what I'm going to finish up on here today, is the word trust. Now, we looked it up again in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. And the word trust, Webster says, it's a confidence, a reliance, the resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person. Praise God. So I like the part there. He says, on the integrity. See, God, what does that mean? When someone has integrity, that means they do what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. And we should be that way too. If we say we're going to do something, we should do everything in our power. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. Amen? And we need, that's the way God is. God says it, He will do it. You can take it to the bank. Mm-hmm. Amen? Now, let's go to Matthew again, Matthew chapter 14. We got into this last week, and I'm extremely excited about this verse of Scripture because it's been, the last couple of weeks, this Scripture has been pouring over and over and over inside my spirit. And what I want to talk about today in conclusion of this series here is how you can trust God right now. How you can trust God right now. Regardless of your background, regardless of what you're going through, all of us here can trust God to help us, to get us through that situation. Has God ever gotten you through something before? And it looked tough at the first, didn't it? It looked rough. But I like to do what David did. He said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And when he faced Goliath, I believe one of the major ways that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God, he said, I remember the lion, I remember the bear, now this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of those. And so what did he do? He reminded himself, wait a minute, there came a bear one day and stole one of the sheep out of the flock, of his father's flock. And he says, I went after him. Amen? Now, I don't know many people that are chasing bears. It may be the other way around. And there came a lion on another occasion and took one of the sheep. I guess that's one of their main courses, you know. And David just didn't step back there, man. He went after the lion, he went after the bear, and he slew both of them. He said he caught the lion by the beard. I mean, Duck Dynasty, man. He grabbed that thing. Wham! Gave that thing a spanking, man. Glory to God. Now listen. He didn't do that in his own strength. David didn't kill that bear in his own strength. He wasn't on steroids, you understand? He didn't go after that bear in his own strength. The anointing came on him, and he took off after that thing, I'm telling you. And you know, it's kind of like, was it Samson in the Bible? And a lot of times, and I've seen this actually, you know, cartoons and stuff like that where they depict Samson, and he is like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Muscles. Poof, you know what I'm saying? Listen, it wasn't his muscles. The anointing would come upon him. And it wasn't that David was some muscle-bound meathead. He was fellowshipping with God, and the anointing would come on him to fight battles. Listen, the Bible says the anointing will come upon you to fight battles, to fight the fight of faith. That's the only fight we're supposed to be in anyway. We're not supposed to fight the devil or people. If you are, you're in the wrong fight. But our fight is to stay in faith, fight the good fight of faith. We talked about that in our last series. Amen. Amen. Now, in Matthew right here, we see something here, and I want to show you in verse 22. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him to the other side. And he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. Now look at verse 24. Now the ship was in the middle of the sea, tossed with the wind, and the waves was contrary. 25 says, and in the fourth watch of the night, that's about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now he wasn't water skiing, he was walking. Walking on the sea. And his disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out with fear. Now in verse 26, you hold your place right there. We brought up the fact last week that the King James is a little bit nice here. They cried out with fear. Actually, the Greek meant that they shrieked with fear. I mean, the hair stood up on the back of their neck. In fact, their whole body. They were terrorized with fear because superstition, even back then, they had superstitions, was that if you're a fisherman and you see somebody or spirit on the water, that meant within seconds you're about to die. And most of these guys were former fishermen. Remember that? And so that's why they cried out with fear. Oh, God, they were beside themselves. Talk about a horror flick. So we see in verse 26, they cried out, it's a spirit, and they cried out with fear. Verse 27, straightway Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. In other words, Jesus said, get happy. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord told you to get happy, would you think it'd be good advice to follow that? Sometimes we treat the good news as bad news. Amen. But the Bible says, my brethren, when you encounter various temptations and trials and tests, he says, count it all joy. That means throw a party. Everybody likes parties. Okay? I'm not talking about drugs and alcohol. Okay? But when God throws a party, it's better than any party you can imagine. Amen? But he says, I love Jesus. He's so positive. Amen? Verse 27, be of good cheer. In other words, get happy. It is I, be not afraid. Now here they are in the midst of horrible circumstances, at least they thought, and there's a miracle standing right before them, inches away, and they're freaking out. Many times, the times that we're freaking out in the natural and filled with fear, Jesus is standing right there. And he said, don't be afraid. I'm right here. I'm going to take care of you. Oh, if we could ever just recognize more and more the presence of God. He's with us all the time. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. Think about that. The times that you felt the greatest fear in your life, God was right there beside you and continues to be so. Amen? And so look at what happened in verse 29. No, I'm sorry, verse 28. This is right after Jesus said, you know, be of good cheer, but don't be afraid. In other words, don't allow fear. Don't permit fear in your heart or your mind. Now listen, you can feel fear, but you don't have to yield to it. And I'll take it even a step further. Just because you feel Fear doesn't mean that you are afraid. Just because you feel fear. How many of you have ever felt fear before? And just because you feel fear doesn't mean that you're yielding to it. Because the devil will say, well, you're already afraid, so it doesn't matter what you do now. Listen, you can stand there with the hair on the back of your neck standing up, shaking all over, your knees fellowshipping with one another, and say, nope, I refuse to fear in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And some of y'all need to do that.
Amen.
Okay?
And
you stand there and say, I refuse to be afraid. I don't care what that fear is. You're not going to have enough. That's not going to happen. You're going to die of this disease or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And you starve your doubts and you feed your faith on the Word of God. But Jesus, look at what Peter said right there in verse 28. And he said, verse 27, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith. Now, he wasn't condemning him here. He was just making a point here. O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased, and when they were in the ship, they worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Okay, now we brought out some points last week, and this is where we're going to pick it up today, that we're talking about trust, how you can trust God in your current situation where you're at now. And I'll say this, that when you trust the Lord, you will never be disappointed. Now, the Scripture plainly says that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I'm telling you, your own husband can let you down, your own wife can let you down, your kids can let you down, your neighbors, your bosses, they can all disappoint. You can disappoint yourself. But God will never disappoint you. He will never, ever let you down. And that's why I believe that we have a church full of people that trust God more than anything else. Because when we trust God, I'm telling you, it's the safest place we can possibly be in. Well, thank you for that amen back there. The safest place you can possibly be is when you're trusting the Lord. Okay, and that's what we're talking about here. Now, mentioned this last week, that Peter did not walk on the water. What, Pastor Keith? He walked on the Word. Now, the day before that, if Peter tried to step on the water, he would have been scuba diving. The next day, if Peter tried to walk on the water, he would have sunk. But for that moment, there was one word that was given, come. That was enough word to hold up Peter. And we're going somewhere with this today. That one word was enough to sustain him to walk above something that was meant to kill him. That water represented sure death. But notice when he walked on the word, the thing that was trying to kill him was underneath his feet. That's a good thought, isn't it? I wrote down here, it wasn't the wind and the waves that caused Peter to sink. If that were the case, then Jesus would have sunk because he was out there too. It wasn't the wind and the waves. Now, the wind and the waves are symbolic of circumstances that surround you. You get that? The wind and the waves are always symbolic of things that try to distract you, to pull you down, to pull you under. And so we see that when Peter stepped out of the boat, he was doing okay. He was walking on the water. And Jesus, his miracle was only a few feet away. Because we see Jesus reach down and pull him out of the water. Jesus wasn't a football field away. He was right there. He was that close to the fulfillment of his miracle. Now, you know and I know, and I've said this before, that you cannot walk on the water on a calm day. If the water was like glass, you know what I mean, not a wave, no wind, whether there's wind or waves has no bearing on the fact that I can walk on the water. Are you with me now? Now, the ice, there was no ice there. It wasn't frozen over. Okay? Like Lake Erie. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, anybody can walk on that water. It's frozen, right? We're talking about wet water here. But it wasn't the wind and the waves that caused him to sink. No, I was fellowshipping with the Lord about this about a week and a half ago. And he showed this to me, and it really, really helped me because I was taking one of my prayer drives, and I was fellowshipping with the Lord about this. And the Lord reminded me of this. He said, Keith, it's not the wind and the waves that cause you to sink in life. In fact, he said this, you can be surrounded by trials and tribulations. They can be at your right hand and your left hand, front of you, behind you, wind and waves, circumstances. He says, but they do not have to bring you down unless you get your eyes and your ears and your attention on those particular things. Now, Peter was, as long as he, you know, let's just say Josh is where Jesus is. Okay, Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking on the water. And you know, there's 11 of them back in the boat. Look, I mean, they're like, whoa. Like eyes, like olives on the end of two toothpicks. You know what I'm saying? Like, did you see this? He's Jesus. Peter's walking on the water. And all of a sudden, Satan just threw up a wave, a wind. And all of a sudden, whoosh, you know. And he got his eyes off Jesus. And he got his eyes on the waves. He don't have a surfboard, okay? And the Bible says he began to sink. He didn't just get sunk. Now, anytime I've dived into a swimming pool, whether it's off the side or a diving board, you know, it's been a while, you know, you don't just begin to sink. You done sunk. That's bad English, but you know what I'm talking about. When you jump off, you are immediately under within a split second, right? Now, that didn't happen to Peter. It says he began to sink. You know, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. Now, stay with me. This was a progression. But had he kept his eyes on Jesus, who is the Word, are you with me now? Does the Word excite you?
Yes.
It's okay to get excited in church, right? The Word is our sustaining force. Okay? Sometimes you got to shake yourself and say, Dear God, I'm going to believe the Word of God.
Amen.
Shake yourself. Get out of that religious mindset.
Amen?
You will never sink if you keep your eyes on the Word of God.
Lord.
You will never go under in life. You will never do without if your eyes are on the Word, on the Son of God, which is the Word of God. And as he looked at Jesus, he was fine. But when he got his eyes on the circumstances, on the wind and the waves, he began to sink. Right? He began to sink. He was inches away from the fulfillment of his miracle. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been there more times than I'd like to think where I thought, Dear God, how in the world am I going to make it? Where my body was under attack, doctor's reports, financial situations. I'm telling you, I've faced more of that stuff than you can imagine through the years. And I'm telling you what, when this boy put his eyes on Jesus, on the Word of God, somehow God made me to stand and not sink. And I believe God wants a church full of people that don't have the backbone of a jellyfish spiritually, but a crowbar, a strong spirit. The Bible says that the strong spirit of a man will sustain him even in bodily weakness. Amen? And Peter, God's perfect will for Peter was that he get out of the boat, walk to Jesus, walk to where he was, turn around and walk back to the boat, get into the boat, not wet at all. Because the Lord told him, he says, Wherefore did you doubt? So doubt will get you. There's two tormenting twins, and I'll address this right now. There's two tormenting twins from the devil, fear and doubt. Fear and doubt. Say it. Fear and doubt. Now, when doubt comes, it gets you to question what God said. Now, go over to Ecclesiastes. If you don't know where it is, table contents are up on the wall here. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. I like this scripture. We're going to see it in two versions here. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now, Josh, bring that up on the Amplified. Here we go. I like this. It says, he who watches the wind, waiting for all conditions to be perfect, will not sow seed. And he who looks at the clouds will not reap a harvest. So, this has to do with what you're looking at. Okay? And I want to move a little different direction here before we get into this next verse right here. That your self-image, how you see yourself. Now, listen really carefully. This is so important that you get a hold of this. Because this is the launch pad for your faith to accelerate in your life. I mean, if you want to take the brakes off. I remember one time when Linda and I were in Bible school, our first year of Bible school. We went and visited her brother in Killeen, Texas. And from Tulsa to Killeen, Texas was about an 8-hour drive. Now, I forgot to do one simple thing. I forgot to take off my emergency brake. Now, it was partially on. It wasn't fully on, you know what I mean? But it was partially on. And I drove for 8 hours, several hundred miles. And when I got there, her brother said, we could smell you coming in. And I wondered why I got such terrible gas mileage. It is what it is. I'm surprised that Monte Carlo's wheels didn't catch fire, man. There's a lot of friction going on there. You know what I mean? My God, if I was in a grass field, it would have caught on fire. But see, a lot of times we're going through life and we got the brakes on and we don't even realize we're doing it. Okay? And here's one of the biggest things. I want to hit this right now between the eyes. I mean, let's take this giant out right now. And that is self-condemnation. Condemning yourself. You see, God sees you as worthy, as holy, as spotless, as Jesus himself, because you are washed in his blood. You are washed in his blood. And if the enemy can convince you of your past failures, so on and so forth, looking back, okay, just like Lot's wife looked back, turned into a pillar of salt, you know, it stopped her in her tracks, you know. And if the devil can condemn you and make you feel unworthy, listen, there ain't a person here that hasn't made mistakes after you've been saved. Now, that's not a license to sin. You understand what I'm saying? But sometimes we miss it in life. We do things. But we don't want to beat ourselves up over past mistakes. We got to pick ourselves up and move on. Okay? Now, I want to use this example right now. Here's a $50 bill. All right? Who is this guy? Ulysses Grant. Everybody see that right there? Now, how many of you know this is worth $50? Okay? So there's a worth on this piece of paper. What is it? $50. He just happened to be the 18th president. Some say, well, he sounds smart. I just looked it up this morning. Okay. Where'd he get that? I just looked it up this morning, you know. I didn't know that. But he was a good president. Okay, and, you know, through the years, they decided to put his name or his picture on there with his name on there. And this is worth, in American money, $50. Okay? Now, this is the value that this piece of paper is worth, $50. It's not worth $100, it's worth $50. Okay? So the U.S. government put a price on this that what this is worth is not $20, not $5, but $50, okay? Any one of you could spend that, okay? Now, Nothing's going to change the face value of this $50 bill. I could look at this $50 bill and say, you are the ugliest person I've ever seen. Your beard is too long. It needs trimmed. You're not smiling. You are a jerk. Do you hear me? You are a jerk. I've insulted Mr. Grant. I'm making a point here. I've insulted this Grant. I've insulted USS Ulysses Grant. I called them names. I stomped on them. I ripped them up. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, when I take this out and I go to spend it, it's still worth what? Oh, yeah. It might be a little wrinkled. It was stepped on. It was ridiculed. But guess what? Has anything changed the value of this $50 bill? The devil can throw everything at you to make you feel like you've messed up, you've screwed up, you've messed up. And you can stand there and beat yourself up till Jesus comes back, but that's not going to do anything but stop you and stop your faith and stop you in your tracks. So quit condemning yourself. Okay? God put a price on your head, and the price is the blood of Jesus. And that price, the Bible says, we've not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that there's not enough gold and silver in the world to buy your salvation? He says you weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Now, we know in the natural, that's worth a lot of money. So you get enough silver and gold there, you're worth something. But all the money in the world, all the gold, all the silver in the world is not enough to pay for your soul. But the blood of Jesus did it. And that blood made you worthy. That blood made you holy. That blood made you spotless. In other words, you're standing before God as if sin never existed. Like Adam and Eve before they sinned. No shame, no guilt, no fear. They weren't running from God. It was only after Adam sinned that he ran from the presence of God. He heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. He took off, man. Now, what made that happen? Guilt and sin and condemnation came in. Now, I'm here to say this. Jesus Christ has taken care of the guilt. He's taken care of the shame. He's taken care of, in fact, your Heavenly Father, at least give Him enough credit that He's better than any earthly father that you could ever have. Amen. I had the Lord ask me this question a couple of weeks ago. He said, son, do you enjoy talking to your wife and your son and your daughter? He asked me this question in here, where you hear him too. I said, oh, absolutely. And he said this, he goes, do you like to talk to them every day? I said, yeah. Okay. And nowadays with cell phones and stuff, if they're away, you can still talk to them. Okay, text, whatever, you know. And he says, how much more do you think I want to communicate with my children? Amen. Now, my son and my daughter and my wife, we're not perfect. But I can tell you right now, that ain't stopping me from fellowshipping with Sister Lynn. Because I love this woman. Amen. Amen. 33 years with her. We're going another 33 years. Amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. I love my kids. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. Sometimes every day. But you know what? Selah, stop and think. Now, I'm making a point here, you know, that somehow that doesn't hinder me from fellowshipping with them and talking with them and communicating with them. Why? Because I love them. There's nothing that they can do to change my love for them? Nothing. Hallelujah. Do you think God's any better than that? You better believe it. See, He knows that if you understand, the Lord knows, when you understand that you are totally accepted, totally loved by God, that will free you up. Yeah, I know, Pastor, but I got all these different issues and problems, you know. I got a temper problem. I got a tobacco problem. I got a this problem. I got that problem. Okay. Does that change God's love for you?
No.
In fact, the Bible says in Romans 2:4, it's the goodness of God that leads you to Him. It's the goodness of God. When you understand how good God is and the plan that He has for you, you would never hightail out and run. So I'm not going to get out of that church. I might get blessed. I have to be honest sometimes. That's the way some people think. You think, I don't want to go to that church. You know, God might ask me to do something. Okay, well, if He asks you to do something, do you think it's going to hurt you? No. Everything God asked me to do, He's always had me in mind. He's going to bless me somehow. Anything He's ever asked me to do, He's looking out for my benefit. Any seed He's ever asked me to sow, whether it's kindness, love, attention. Sometimes people just need attention. Amen. I was so blessed this morning. I was down the hallway here and I was coming out of the restroom, and Sister Nancy was coming out in the hallway there, and she said, Pastor Keith, I just prayed for a worker, you know, precious lady that works here, you know, and got to pray for her, and come to find out the woman was, how did you know I needed it? It was like supernaturally God filled her with wisdom to pray for her. And then she introduced her to me as we were coming down the hallway. That's the goodness of God, isn't it? We just go about. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So if we just go about doing good, God's going to show up. Amen. We sang that song this morning. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's conclude here in Proverbs chapter 3, if you would. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. You are worth something. You are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Never again condemn yourself, knock yourself down, make yourself sound unworthy. I'm not worthy. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, which one are you? A sinner or saved by grace? Now, people, I'm telling you, we're going to kick some religious cows over today. I mean, that big heifer. We're going to knock them over, man. Glory to God. That self-righteous thing, you know. You know, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, which one are you? See, I was a sinner. Now I'm saved by grace. I'm not a sinner anymore. Neither are you. I don't have a rule well. I was a sinner. I was saved by grace. And the Bible says now, right now, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. That means because of His blood, you have right standing with God. Now that will make you stand fearless, because you realize when I pray. Now when I say that, I say this, when I pray, things happen. I say it all the time. Now I'm not saying it to sound braggadocious and egotistical, you know, but I'm reminding myself, wait a minute. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto our prayers. Well, when do you become righteous? When you got saved. Not when you go to heaven. Someday, Pastor Keith, when I get to heaven, I'll be righteous. No unrighteous people are going to heaven. You get saved on the earth, you become the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you know that you're righteous in Christ, you can stand boldly before demons and devils and evil spirits and before heaven and before hell, and you can pray and you can get results every single time. Because of the blood. because of the blood. It's all because of the blood. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even have a right to use the name of Jesus if it were not for the blood. The blood speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Abel's blood cried out from the ground, vengeance, justice. Jesus' blood cries out, you are now righteous, you are now holy. Remember that? When Cain killed Abel, the first two kids on the earth, remember that? And here's what happened. One got jealous of another person's offering. That's how that all started. Jealousy led to murder. We have to be careful with jealousy as believers. Never get jealous of someone. Hey, if someone has something, you say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Need I talk more about that? But Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, and we'll conclude here today. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And this is the biggest key this year for us to receive divine increase. Listen, I'm believing that we're going to get reports. I've had a few already. But I'm believing that we're going to have report after report after report. My God, there was a breakthrough here. Something happened here. Something happened there. Amen. All right? Yeah. We've had a trickle of those things come in there. But listen, we're going to have a truckload of those things come in because I'm telling you, God is setting us up. He's setting you up for divine blessings. Yeah. He's got increase. He wants to increase you. He wants to bless you. If you then, being natural parents, evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that what? Ask Him. Got to ask Him. The reason we don't ask is we don't believe He wants to bless us. Amen? I made mention of the fact a few months ago, I was taking a prayer drive again. And the Lord spoke to my spirit again. I've been praying in the Spirit for well over an hour, just communicating with the Lord, talking with the Lord. I love that. I mean, talking with the Lord. Doesn't get any better than that. What you do today? I talk to the Lord. Oh, really? Some people look at you like, really? Like, really? But they don't understand. They don't understand. Now listen. I talked to the Lord, and the Lord talked to me. Whew. It doesn't get any better than that. And guess what? The Lord wants to talk to you and me every day. In spite of your idiosyncrasies, in spite of your failures and how you see yourself, God will help you to see yourself the way He sees you. And it's really important to do that. To see yourself the way He sees you, because it literally frees you up. It takes the handcuffs off. And you can have freedom when you serve God. The Lord told Israel, He said, you're going to walk into a curse because you didn't serve the Lord with joy for the abundance of all things. I mean, I want to serve. I love serving God. It's exciting to me. And the Lord spoke this to my heart. He says, Keith, can I ask you a question? I said, sure, Lord. He said, would you give me permission each day to bless you? I immediately almost had to pull the car over on the side of the road because I thought, Lord, the God of the universe, you're asking me to give you permission to bless me? He said, that's right, son. He goes, because man has authority on the earth. And he says, I can't do anything in the earth unless I get permission. God gave man authority in the earth. And whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And the reason sometimes that God can't do something in our life is because we're not giving Him the permission to step in and to bless us. Now, I haven't hit it 100% every single day. But every time I think of it, every day, Father, I open myself up today for you to receive blessings from you. Give me a download of your goodness today because I'm just going to pass that on to someone else. Amen. Sometimes I feel so loved by God, I got to give it to someone else. Amen. I feel the Father's love and acceptance, unconditional love towards me. Well, guess what? I want to go give that to someone else because there's a lot of people that need that. You can literally walk out these doors right here, and there's people out there in that hall that need the love of God. Not necessarily you preaching at them, but a kind smile. God doesn't frown at you. He smiles at you. Lord, cause your face to shine upon us. Well, that's not a frown. That's a smile. And when you are kind to people and you love people and you smile at people, you're letting them know, hey, you're okay. Now, you're preaching the gospel. They don't even know it. They don't even know it. Who was, I forget who it was, that said, I don't know, it was Francis, a sissy or whatever. He's not a sissy, by the way. But he says, everywhere you go, preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. Did you ever hear that phrase before? Everywhere you go, preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. So your lifestyle, your attitude, your love, the smile on your face is preaching to the people, the checkout person at the checkout line, the grocery store, people out in the hallway, so forth and so on. But if we get just ourselves on our mind, we're trying to fix ourselves, it ain't going to work. It will not work. I can tell you, you'll be doing the same thing 30 years from now. But if you get yourself off your mind and you get other people on your mind, it will free you up. It will free you up. I'm looking at a bunch of lovers and givers in this place right now. Amen. How many of you just can't wait to bust out of here this morning and just let the love of God come out everywhere you go? I didn't know I was getting into that this morning. Well, you are now. You're enlisted. You're drafted. How much time have we got here? Well, almost out of time. All right, Proverbs 3:5, this is it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Now, flip up the Message translation, Josh, in the same one. We'll stop here. Trust God. Same verse, different translation. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen for God's voice. And everything you do, everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health, and your very bones will vibrate with life. Isn't that good? Well, I love how he starts out. He says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Okay, so as we conclude today. Now, the Lord has me do this sometimes because I might have said the same thing last week or 2 weeks ago. But the Lord will bring up things again to remind us. How are we going to take everybody in this room, whatever place you're at spiritually? So it's not important where you're at in God. It's which direction you're going. Okay? If you're here and you've only been saved for a week, praise God for that. It's not where you're at. It's which direction are you going? You ever gotten off a road before and you gotten off the wrong, you thought you were going the right way and you got off, yeah, you know, and you didn't ask your wife for directions? I remember years ago before we had kids, we were traveling to Tulsa to go to Kenneth Hagin's Winter Bible Seminar, you know, and I remember it was like this kind of weather. It's extremely cold, bad weather and all this kind of stuff. And we had driven and driven and driven for hours, 13, 14 hours the first day. So we just pulled in a hotel, got really tired. It was right outside of St. Louis, you know. And it was the middle of the night. It was dark, couldn't see too much. We got in the hotel. Man, that bed looked so inviting. Got in that bed. Next morning we got up and I didn't realize I got on the highway and I went the wrong way. And I started going towards St. Louis again, which I had already gone through that the day before. Well, I'm kind of out of it here, you know. And I saw a sign that said, I thought it said St. Louise, 30 miles. Then it dawned on me, you just went the wrong way. You're going east and you should be going west. Okay? Now, sometimes that will happen to us in the spirit realm. We realize, well, I've been going the wrong way here. Now I'm going to turn it around and go the right way here. Okay? Say this after me. Say, I trust God with all of my heart. I do not lean to my understanding. In all of my ways, I acknowledge God. He directs my path. Okay, let's stop there for a minute. Now, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, notice this, acknowledge Him. How do you acknowledge Him? You acknowledge His Word. Peter stepped out on the Word, and he walked on the water. When you acknowledge the Word of God and you stand on the Word of God, He is able to keep you from stumbling. He's able to keep you from sinking. He's able to keep you from going under. And I hear this in my spirit. It's not too late. Some of you here, this is a word of knowledge. Some of you might have thought, it's just too late. Things have happened too much. Too much water has gone under the bridge. It seems too late. But the Lord is saying, it's not too late. If you'll trust me, saith the Lord, if you'll trust my word and step out on my word, I will cause you to go from feeling like you're sinking to rise above the water where you will walk on top of the water. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I receive that. Amen. And I'll tell you, like the Lord said to me, He said, you can have wind and waves all around you, but they don't make you sink. It's only when you get your eyes on the wind and the waves. The doctor's report, the financial report, the kids' report. Are you with me now? That stuff can't make you sink, only if you get your eyes and attention on it. So what are we to put our eyes on? The Word of God. This Bible says, looking, in Hebrews, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When you look to the Word of God, let's say you've got a wind and a wave of sickness coming against you. Okay? A wind and a wave of sickness and disease coming against you. Well, guess what? You've got a word. By His stripes, I was healed since 2,000 years ago. Not going to be healed. I was healed 2,000 years ago. Jesus took those stripes on His back so that I could walk in health. That's what we did with Pastor Lynn when her body became under attack. See, listen, we're not exempt from attacks. I want to make that real clear. We're not exempt from having symptoms and attacks in this life, but we have a choice whether we're going to yield to it and accept it and embrace it in our lives. You might feel the wind. You might feel the waves. You might go under a few times, but you bust up out of there for another breath of air. Amen?
Amen.
And your faith is in the Word of God. By His stripes, I was healed. By His stripes, I am healed. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Every time you've sowed to the kingdom of God, I mean, you're that's a step of faith for you. And you're setting yourself up for God's blessings upon you. Every time you obey God and do what He tells you to do, here's the problem that I have. There's more sermon than there is time. That's a good problem. Now, next week, God gave me a message. And the title of that message is, What to Do When? And you fill in the blank. What to do when? What to do when you are discouraged? What to do when you're persecuted? What to do when you feel alone? What to do when this, we're going to cover, the Lord's going to help us with this, amen? We're going to give you some very practical things, what to do, how to take this, how to take care of this thing, amen? I'm really excited about that. Praise God.